I would now like to invite DPM Gunn to give his opening remarks. DPM, please.
Thank you. First, let me welcome friends of the media to this press conference. The world today is really very volatile and very uncertain. Just to recap, the U.S. has announced on the 2nd of April the introduction of a 10% baseline tariff on almost all countries, as well as higher tariffs on the reciprocal tariffs on some countries. It has since proceeded with a 10% baseline tariff, but has decided to defer the introduction of the reciprocal tariff by 90 days, except for China. Between US and China, we have since seen an extremely worrying series of tit-for-tat escalatory tariffs. In effect, Chinese goods imported to the US now will face a 145% tariff, whereas goods from the US imported into China will face a tariff of 125%. Trade between the US and China, amounting to over $600 billion, are at risk of being choked off. And we are key partners, trading partners to both US and China, or rather, US and China are both key trading partners to Singapore. In fact, some companies in Singapore are already being affected. For example, those who have manufacturing operations in China or sell to manufacturers in China for onward sales to the US are already seeing canceled orders or deferred orders. This dangerous game of brinksmanship between the US-China also risks greater tension that can easily spill over to other countries and other areas. It is also not clear at this point in time how negotiations between the US and other countries will proceed and whether it will be able to come to some agreed consensus or agreed position. And well, we all hope that these negotiations will eventually lead to some mutually agreed outcomes. We cannot rule out the possibility that there will be some levels of reciprocal tariffs that will continue to be imposed on certain countries when the deferment of the tariffs are being lifted or when we have passed the deferment period. This may in turn spark off more retaliatory actions by some of these countries. The US has also signaled that there is a possibility of further tariffs in the pipeline. These would include tariffs on semiconductors as well as pharmaceuticals. Taken together, these developments have caused significant uncertainty and downside risks to global economy, and we must be prepared for more shocks and surprises and challenges going ahead. And this is the reason why the MTI has announced yesterday that it will downgrade our GDP forecast for this year to between 0 to 2%. And given potential downside risks, we cannot rule out the possibility of a recession for this year. In the longer term, the disorderly imposition of tariffs and retaliatory measures will fundamentally undermine the rules-based trading order and reshape the global multilateral system. This will adversely affect small economies like Singapore, which depends on trade to grow our economy and to develop our economy. Let me explain. If other countries decide to follow the US to also take targeted measures against specific countries, whether it's tariffs or non-tariff measures, this will mean that it's a total disregard of the core principle of the MFN, or most favored nation principle, to not discriminate against nations. Countries with the strongest economy will have the strongest bargaining power, and they will win, and smaller economies like Singapore will lose. Global trade flows, not just between the US and China, but the global trade between all countries will be even more fragmented. Companies will need to reassess their production and supply chain configurations and invest in building greater resilience, just more than just focusing on cost effectiveness. And this will mean that products will come at a higher cost. Given these significant uncertainties, PM has asked me to set up this Singapore Economic Resilience Task Force to help our companies, especially our small and medium-sized companies, to navigate through these troubled waters. The task force will comprise my cabinet colleagues, together with the Singapore Business Federation, the Singapore National Employers Federation, as well as the NTUC. We have had a very good meeting earlier this afternoon to discuss how we will organize ourselves for the tasks ahead, and in particular, we will establish three work streams. I will provide an overview of these three work streams, and then I'll ask my colleagues to share more. First work stream is on information sharing and sense making. This is to strengthen our collective assessment of the developments as they evolve, as well as their impact on our businesses and our workers. We will reach out and engage our businesses and the trade associations and chambers to share what we know, to understand the implications for them, and to communicate how our various schemes and measures can support them. Josephine will co-lead this work stream together with Ming Yan. Ming Yan is not with us today because he's overseas, and we have Mark Lee standing in for Ming Yan. Second, on immediate support to address the challenges faced by our businesses and workers. As PM mentioned, we at the budget 2025, we had rolled out a comprehensive package of measures for households and businesses. We will assess the situation, and we are ready to provide more support if necessary. Our tripartite partners, Xiling, Hitek, as well as Chiming, will lead this effort to assess this issue, the issues faced by our businesses, and review if our support is adequate and develop additional measures if necessary. The third work stream is on longer-term strategic planning to help our businesses and our economy transform and reposition ourselves in the new economic landscape. As I mentioned, there will be a fundamental reshuffling of production and supply chains going forward. Our businesses have to be nimble and adapt to the new world. This will also open up opportunities for our companies to explore new markets as well as avenues to strengthen their resilience. We will work with our businesses to look ahead, develop long-term plans, and move quickly to seize these opportunities. And Minister Desmond and Minister Chee Hong Tat will lead this work stream together. In parallel, the government will continue to work with like-minded nations and economic partners to strengthen our economic partnership, for example, between ASEAN and the GCC, and between CPTPP and the EU, so that we can open up new opportunities for our businesses. At the same time, we must also continue to engage the United States to understand their concerns and work constructively with them to address issues in a mutually agreeable manner. Notwithstanding its recent actions, the US remains a key economic, technological, and strategic partner for Singapore. We are facing the most serious challenge to the global rules-based economic order. We must be prepared for a more protectionist, unstable, and fragmented world ahead. But by working together with our unions and businesses, the government will help our companies and our workers navigate these choppy waters in front of us. If we stay together, we can overcome the challenges and seize new opportunities that may come our way to create more, better outlook for Singapore and to thrive in this new economic landscape. And now let me invite my fellow task force members to share more, starting with Josephine.
Thank you, DPM. I will cover 3 points in my remarks, just testing if you can hear me clearly. I will talk about why this workstream is necessary. I will talk about how we intend to carry out our work. And thirdly, let me also speak briefly to the concerns beyond the business community as well as the workforce. First, why this workstream? As you heard from DPM Gan earlier, there will be a fundamental reshuffling of trade and investment flows. The impact is not going to be theoretical. Already, we know from the businesses that Not everyone is adopting a wait-and-see attitude, both on the demand side and on the supply side. They are facing pressures. They are facing opportunities as well. So when you put the two together, there is a need to connect the dots. And the reason we want to do so is to get as full a picture as possible in order to design suitable responses both in the short term as well as in the long term. But these dots are not static. They can shift overnight, unexpectedly and dramatically. One day, you have tariffs being introduced and companies are orientating in a certain direction. But the next day, some of the tariffs are being suspended and the companies think that they need to reorientate again. And then yet another day, there is a tariff exclusion list. So this very rapid changing of the scene means that the picture that we managed to compose is also going to be one that is transient in nature, and we must therefore continue to expect a degree of confusion. The antidote to confusion is sense-making, meaning that we must try and turn whatever noises that we pick up into insight, and out of this insight to try and chart a path through the uncertainty. In recent times, we've all been through COVID. It taught us many things, including the need for us to try and see the same picture, because the more we are able to do so, the more likely we can move forward together. And so ensuring that everyone can see a common picture, as it were, is a very important part of this work stream's duties and responsibilities. So now let me talk a little bit about how we expect to carry out the work. The first, of course, is to ensure that the task force has diverse representation. And you heard from DPM already that apart from government representatives, we have representatives from the business community, from SBF and Singapore National Employers Federation. Of course, we also have representatives from the labour movement through the NTUC. There will be also a need for intensified engagements with the trade associations and chambers, plus the specific unions. Later on, my representative of my co-chair, because Ming Yan is not here, Mark will be able to say more about this. The other part of how we will carry out our work is to put out on a regular basis communications products. For example, ESG has already put out a frequently asked questions, an FAQ, on how do you deal with the suspension of the reciprocal tariffs. And we are looking at how to make these kinds of information even easier to understand and digest so that they can travel and help as many businesses as well as union leaders as much as possible. We will also look to set up dashboards so that we can look at the same set of metrics that will give us a sense of what the picture looks like. This is one way we can all try and establish a common understanding of the issues that we face. We expect that there will be regular media updates. This could be through a conference like this, or there could be other opportunities such as workshops and seminars that we may organize from time to time. So that's how we will carry out the work. Let me conclude my remarks by also saying that beyond the business community and the workforce, within the broader population, there are also concerns. I think my colleagues and I, especially those of us who have been making our rounds in our constituencies, we have certainly noticed that many Singaporeans are aware of these very sudden changes, and even though they may have expected it one way or the other, the scale and scope of the change have signaled to them very clearly that these developments have to be taken very seriously. some seniors particularly remember past disruptions. They know that this could have very profound implications for Singapore. Sometimes when we meet tertiary students, whether they are from the university or from the polytechnic, they are also well-informed, and in particular, they want to know how these developments will impact their job prospects. So our engagements and communications outreach will include them as well as part of active citizenry. The goal is really to move forward and become more resilient together. The work group will therefore do our part to support the other two work groups to design and implement effective responses. So I'll pause right there and turn the mic over to Mark.
Thank you, Minister Zhou. I will now cover the business sentiment on the ground. And I think from what we see, the new U.S. tariff have actually introduced a significant uncertainty for businesses. Many are actually adopting a wait-and-see attitude. They are either postponing their investments and expansion plans, and they are waiting for more clarity on the scope, the enforcement and exemptions coming from the U.S. Even those that are not directly exporting to the U.S., they are also watching global developments very, very closely before committing resources. I think overall, the businesses are concerned that global economic demand will slow. And for Singapore-based firms that are embedded in the U.S. and China supply chains, I think DPM has alluded to the fact that there's a ban of 125% to 145% tariff bans. Now, these are prohibitive. And some customers are already canceling contracts, returning shipments to the manufacturers, opting to actually absorb penalties rather than proceed with tariff shipments. And this has resulted in a real disruption to regional production and the viability of exports. So beyond direct exposure, the tariff measures have broader implications for the global economy as well. We see slowing demand, disrupted supply chains, and of course, more importantly, the undermining of a rules-based trade order that's actually affecting current firm-level decisions, which will impact Singapore's long-term competitiveness. I want to state that SBF has established the Center for the Future of Trade and Investment. I will call that C40 from here. And C40 was launched, or has launched, a national sentiment poll across our business community. Our objective is actually to capture the business reaction and support that businesses feel that they need. And we expect the preliminary findings to be out within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Besides SBF, we are also working with our TAC partners. We will continue to sense, make, communicate, and support our business community. Actually, just earlier this morning, we held a closed-door forum organized by SBF with insights from government, legal, logistics, as well as financial experts. And we have almost more than 400 business leaders that took part on the implication of the U.S. tariffs. We are actually trying to help businesses to make sense, take action, and actually plan ahead. Now, we continue to understand the urgency that businesses feel, and in April and May, SBF will co-host targeted export control seminars with Singapore Customs to actually help businesses navigate the evolving U.S. regulations. C40 advisors will continue to provide guidance on FTA utilization, tariff navigation, and strategic trade compliance. I want to say that businesses will now have to adapt to these new trade realities, and we encourage firms to continue to innovate to strengthen their value offerings and tap into Singapore's FTA network to diversify their markets, their suppliers, and to develop supply chain resilience. So with that, I'll pass the time now to my colleague.
I'll call upon our tripartite partners to talk about work stream 2, starting with the ceiling.
Thank you, DPM. The second work stream of the task force is to prepare and to support our workers as well as our businesses for the uncertainties that lies ahead. As DPM mentioned, I'll be leading this effort with Brother Chi Ming from NTUC and Brother Hee Teck from SNEF to assess the issues faced by businesses and workers, as well as at the same time review support measures. Tripartite partnership has always been a cornerstone and is key to what we intend to do to support. So we're working closely together to anticipate challenges. We want to also bolster the resilience of workers and businesses and chart the path forward together. For businesses, we are paying close attention to the sectors which are going to be most immediately affected by the ongoing developments, while at the same time anticipating what are some other spillover effects on the rest of the economy. For workers, we anticipate that business uncertainty will cause employers to hold back their expansion or investment plans, and consequently, they will reduce hiring. So this could affect our fresh graduates in particular, who may face greater difficulties in securing their first job. Mature workers are also vulnerable should companies decide to downsize their operations amidst the uncertainties. So we are paying special attention to the needs of these groups of workers. Today, we have a wide range of tools in our arsenal to support businesses and workers, including several schemes that we have just recently announced at Budget COS 2025. These include programs to support enterprise and workforce development, as well as upskilling, reskilling, and employment facilitation for workers. For businesses, for example, we have made recent enhancements to the Enterprise Financing Scheme, or trade loan. This provides enterprises with better access to trade financing amidst uncertainties in the global trade ecosystem. We have also extended the Skills Future Enterprise Credit to support employers to reskill their workforce. Should there be a downturn, we urge businesses to take full advantage first of such schemes to retain and to retrain their workers in preparation for recovery instead of letting them go. For workers, the government has put in place the Skills Future Level Up program to help mid-career workers pursue substantive reskilling and upskilling with training allowance support. This can help our workers pivot in this period of uncertainty. It's also timely that we just launched our Skills Future Job Seeker Support Scheme yesterday. This will provide financial assurance to the involuntarily unemployed job seekers while they look for their next job. Now, there are many avenues of support for those who need help in navigating these support measures. Businesses can approach SME centres for advice on the programs they can tap on to cope with the challenges. Our workers can approach career coaches at WSG's Career Connect or NTUC's E2I Career Centres. Besides mid-career workers and the involuntarily unemployed, we are also looking at how we can support the upcoming cohort of young graduates to start their careers on a good footing. As the situation evolves, we will work closely with our tripartite partners to assess the needs and the challenges on the ground while monitoring key indicators such as unemployment rate, retrenchments, and employment growth. We have the flexibility to expand and to enhance our schemes very quickly in response. Should there be a turn for the worse, we are prepared to provide even more substantial relief to workers and to businesses. For workers, to support entry and re-entry to the workforce, to safeguard their livelihoods and wages if the job losses become more severe. For businesses, to alleviate immediate pressures and help them to adapt to the new normal. So rest assured, for all of our workers, for all of our businesses, we can get through this together. We will emerge stronger, as we have done so many times before. I will hand over the floor now to Brother Chi Ming.
You can go ahead first. Very good afternoon to all. Three parts to my brief as well. First of all, NTUC sensing from our union and our leaders. Second, NTUC support to our workers. And third, NTUC's potential collaborations with the companies. And then I will conclude. We did a very quick dipstick poll with our union leaders, especially in the affected areas. And we have gotten feedback from all of them that are impacted very directly by the UF tariffs in the electronics, in the chemicals, in the logistics and the transport sectors. Union leaders are understandably anxious. 70% of them worry about the uncertainty in global trade. Around 60% think that the tariffs will impact Singapore and their sectors badly. 30% worry about reduced exports to the US, and 50% worry about higher production costs. While 70% have yet to hear from the companies about how they might respond, and 11% have heard about possible retrenchments already. Others have heard about firms starting to freeze hiring, freeze wages, or reduce overtime due to reduced workload. NTUC's support for workers, therefore, is to really engage them and study what further enhancements or new measures may be necessary to support workers. For the youth coming out from the education institutions, like what Minister Tan has mentioned, the immediate need is actually job availability or job creation to absorb the young ones coming into the workforce. For the larger workforce, including professionals, managers, and executives, the immediate concern is job security. And for all workers, whichever target segment, a no-regrets move is for all workers, including PMEs, to remain in tune with training and skills upgrading to strengthen the overall resilience of the workforce. This is a no-regrets move. NTUC is standing ready to assist our workers, including PMEs, should there be job transitions or retrenchments if it becomes inevitable. In addition to the financial support under the new Skills Future Job Seeker Support Scheme mentioned by Min Tan earlier, NTUC members can also tap into NTUC's Training and Upskilling Initiative, the Union Training Assistance Program, and to be able to access, with some subsidies, to get into career coaching and relevant training to be able to tide the workers over and land onto the next job. And of course, we call on all workers, including PMEs that may not be with our unions, to join our unions so that all can better understand where they can seek the support from NTUC to be able to help them in this journey, and for NTUC and the unions to be alongside them. The second part of it, NTUC's collaboration with businesses. We have worked well with SNEF and companies, and we therefore now hope to deepen this relationship and hope that companies in such an environment can take a more flexible approach in measures other than retrenchment to preserve talent and strengthen future capabilities. For companies, we will continue to encourage management to support their employees in reskilling and upskilling efforts. Again, no regrets move. Whenever there is a rebound, the talent, the upskilled labor can always be more productive, lower business costs, and always argue for a better business case for our companies in Singapore. And therefore, we urge employers to build up their workforce capabilities, not just abstractly for the future, but start now so that we can be more competitive as a whole, whether businesses can do better, workers can be more assured in such circumstances. Companies can, of course, access the NTUC's Company Training Committee's grant and can work with NTUC to incorporate a training plan into a company's transformation roadmap or immediate plans or long-term plans. We also urge management to support their workers in joining our unions, our NTUC, so that we can work with the management to assist them in any circumstance. And finally, in conclusion, we know that our tripartism works and can help us not only overcome the current circumstances, but can seize new opportunities. We can ride out the bumpy road ahead, We have overcome crisis in the past, as what Min Tan has said, and we will definitely, as tripartite partners, work together to overcome the current situation as well. Therefore, we hope that companies in a very uncertain space, can share information with NTUC so that we can also communicate with our workers to overall allay anxieties and perhaps more importantly, to co-strategize so that we can partner to maintain the business case for Singapore and the wages and livelihoods for our workers. I will therefore stop there and hand this time over now to Hitek.
Thank you, Sek Jen. The situation is fast changing and uncertain. For many employers, especially SMEs, it may be challenging to fully appreciate the extent and degree of impact of the tariffs. The short answer is the cost of doing business will change. But how and when is unclear. The tariffs will ultimately affect all businesses due to shifts in supply and demand, whether these businesses are in the export-oriented sectors or not. As employers approach the tariff situation with caution, we are seeing a more measured outlook as employers navigate the current economic uncertainties. Some companies are prudently reviewing their hiring plans and may delay the filling of non-essential roles, such as certain administrative and back-office positions, whilst some SMEs have implemented hiring freezes. For employers that continue to hire, they may offer contract positions instead of permanent roles and possibly shorter contracts to provide better workforce flexibility. At the same time, employers are also exploring increasing workload efficiency through measures like AI, which may help with longer-term productivity growth. Such strategic workforce planning underscores a proactive approach to navigating potential challenges. As part of the task force, SNAF will engage employers and help them assess the impact on their business and the resulting workforce challenges. We will be organizing a series of engagements for both SNAF members and the broader business community to help them better understand the new trade environment and just as importantly, potential opportunities. We will continue to engage employers through our ongoing industry meetings and organize dedicated sessions for discussing the impact of the tariffs. More than ever, employers and workers need to stay nimble and adaptable and be ready to respond to challenges. SNAF encourages employers to preserve their human capital and press on with business and workforce transformation efforts so that they can be more agile and prepared for the future, come what may. SNAF will continue to enhance our advisory services to employers so that they can get support needed, such as wage support from the Career Conversion Program and job transformation support from the Productivity Solutions Grant for Job Redesign. Finally, we will reach out to our members and the broader business community to encourage continued hiring and training of workers, even in this cautious climate. It is critical to continue investing in our workforce to build deep and relevant skills so that we are better positioned to weather the challenges ahead.
Thank you. Even as we address the short-term immediate challenges faced by our enterprises and our workers, it's also important for us to think a little bit more medium and longer term. How can we chart the direction forward? How can we help companies transform and the economy upgrade and workers invest in skills and upgrading? So I think these are the things that we will need to plan for the medium and longer term. And that's why we have a third work stream to think of these issues in a more holistic way. So I hand over to Minister Desmond Lee.
Thank you, Chairman. Friends of the media, you would have heard my fellow panel members speaking about how we will support businesses and support our workers amidst ongoing challenges and the immediate uncertainty arising from what has happened over the last few weeks, months. But we know that the global environment in which Singapore has thrived these past few decades is changing. For example, the rules-based trading order is under serious threat. Instead of win-win cooperation and deeper integration, we may see more countries taking a me-first as well as a win-lose mindset. Global institutions are weakening and international norms are shifting. It is still quite uncertain what the exact contours of the new economic landscape will be, but we do want to proactively sense-make, do scenario planning, and prepare proactively for the mid- to long-term environment so that Singapore will not just survive, but be able to thrive. We must therefore look further ahead, even as we focus on the immediate challenge, and plan how we can support and prepare our businesses and our workers to do well in a very different world and in a very different economic order. Now, in this period of uncertainty, we will face challenges, but we can also unlock opportunities to transform our economy and to reposition ourselves globally so that Singapore remains relevant and competitive. So DPM has asked Minister Chee-Yong Tat and me to work on this third work stream, which is to recommend medium to longer term strategies in order to strengthen Singapore's economic resilience for the benefit of our businesses, workers and society. What we'll do is we'll work with our economic agencies to explore new and innovative ways, for instance, to work with our businesses to enter and to grow in new markets and also to diversify their supply chains. A second, we look at how to strengthen and build resilience in our status as a global hub in air, sea, trade and finance, which connects us to the world and ensures that we remain a key node in the flow of goods, people and ideas. Now, these flows may shift, reorientate, and we want to be ready to seize these opportunities. Third, we want to ensure our continued attractiveness to both our local and international investors, founders and talent, and to leading MNCs from around the world, because this benefits Singapore and Singaporeans. Fourth, we want to see how we can re-energize our enterprises and workforce to transform so that we can overcome land and labour constraints and operate with productivity and innovation. This would mean more competitive enterprises, better jobs and better wages for Singaporeans. And fifth, we're looking at new partnerships with like-minded countries and like-minded organisations to preserve economic stability and efficient global markets. We have laid good groundwork for strong partnerships over the years with models such as Alliances for Action to pilot new concepts and ideas. And we'll continue to strengthen these partnerships and work closely with our tripartite partners, the private sector, think tanks, academic and research communities, and more, in order for us to gather better insights and ideas to forge a refreshed economic vision and strategy for Singapore in the years ahead. So at the end of the day, our goal is first to create good jobs and good wages and help Singaporeans access these jobs in a very different global environment, to grow competitive and innovative enterprises that are rooted in Singapore but who can excel overseas. And thirdly, to foster an enabling environment where good businesses and Singaporeans are proud to call home. So in a way, economic resilience is not only about withstanding adversity, but also transforming through it and then thriving. And so together, we will work to seize new opportunities on the horizon. Thank you.
Hong Tat, over to you.
Thank you, DPM. I just want to make 2 points to add on to what my colleagues have shared. And together with Minister Desmond Lee, I think we want to look at whether there are new opportunities for Singapore in this new environment, tapping on our strengths, like for example, our reputation as a trusted hub. And my belief is that if we can remain united internally in this more turbulent environment, and we can continue to project a sense of stability for investors, for businesses to make long-term plans, and knowing that Singapore is a place that they can count on, I think trust will have a greater premium in this more volatile environment. There are three things that I think we will want to focus on in this new environment to seize new opportunities. First is that we must open up. Singapore has always been a place where we connect with the world, we thrive on trade, on investments, ideas, capital. I think the need for that remains very important. And this also includes having a good environment for countries from around the world who want to come to Singapore to invest and use this as a hub for the region, including companies from US, from Europe, from different parts of Asia, using Singapore as a hub, as a launch pad for their operations in Asia. The second up will be speed up. And I think that's important for us to look at how we can continue to press on with our workforce and enterprise transformation efforts. There's a temptation when things are going tough to say, let's put that off, let's delay that. But I think it is important in this environment to make sure that our workforce and our companies can up our productivity and our competitiveness. So the government will continue to support our companies and our workers on these efforts. We will also continue with our efforts to review our rules through the committee chaired by DPM Gunn, because that is also another way in which we improve our competitiveness and make our business environment more pro-enterprise. And the third up will be team up. Team up because we need to work as a team internally within Singapore with our tripartite partners, but also team up with other like-minded countries from different regions in the world. So I think we want to pay attention to this too. When some doors are closed or when there are barriers, it doesn't mean that all doors are closed. We will look out for new openings, new opportunities, and seek out new ways for our companies and our workers to do business and to earn a living. Now, the second thing I want to say is we will make sure that we provide the necessary help and support to our companies, to our workers, to our families during this difficult period. And it's fortunate that the government, because of the budget fiscal surpluses that we have the resources to be able to do this. You may remember during the budget debate that some people questioned why did we have a fiscal surplus? And Mr. Neil Parekh, who is a nominated member of parliament, stood up and said, why are we debating about this? Because having a surplus is actually a good thing for the country. If you need the resources, the government will have the resources to do more for Singapore and Singaporeans. So now we are in a more difficult environment. We need the resources. I think it's fortunate that we have planned our fiscal resources well, and now we have a fiscal surplus to be able to do more to help Singapore and Singaporeans. So we will make sure that we set aside the resources to provide some immediate help for our companies, for our workers, for our families, and we will do this for as long as it is necessary, because we want to make sure that we give this confidence and assurance to our workers, to our people, that we have your back, that this is a government you can count on. And rain or shine, we will walk this journey together with you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now open it for questions from the floor.
I'll just share some housekeeping matters before we proceed with Q&A. If you would like to ask a question, please raise your hand. My MTI colleagues will hand you a microphone. Please stand and state your name and your media outlet before posing your question. As there are quite a number of us today, please keep to one question and specific to the Singapore Economic Resilience Task Force. Straits Times.
But first of all, basically it's a question on fiscal, kind of like how far the government is prepared to go. This is not exactly if there is a recession, it's not going to be a typical recession. It's a supply-side shock, right? Trade and capital flow disruption. So all, if we can keep the unemployment rate from rising too fast and too high, we can avoid the demand side collapsing, basically, right? So, but the question is, and again, on the other side as well, about the reshuffling of supply chains and stuff like that. Well, the United States hasn't shut the doors, basically. It's a 10% tariff, right? It would be, of course, we can't do much about the US-EU and the US-China trade war. That would, of course, hurt us. But at the end of the day, the market is open. There are no barriers that we can't export or anything like that. This will take about 12 months to get adjusted into prices, and then people will forget about it, basically, and move on, kind of like. It's just like GST, right? The next year, it doesn't really matter, basically. So both the things. The thing is, on one side, we have to save the demand side from collapsing, which is unemployment. And on the other side, we just have to give companies enough confidence or enough. On both these things, it's up to the government. Would the government still want to be prudent and fiscally disciplined, or all options are on the table, and they'll help companies keep their workers and keep their markets as well. Right? A short-term help is required in terms of money, basically. My other only question is, who are we talking to in the United States, by the way?
Thank you.
Oh, one question at a time. Okay, let me just very quickly, I think my colleagues can join, particularly our tripartite partners. First, I should clarify that I wish I'm as optimistic as you are. The truth of the matter is that the bulk of our economy is not driven by domestic demand. Even if we have a full employment, we actually have CDC vouchers and so on, SG60 vouchers that actually will boost demand, but it will not be able to be sufficient to prop up our overall economy, because by and large, our economy is export-driven. It's very export-oriented. And the demand comes from countries like US, China, and all over the world. And when the global economy slows down, because of tariffs, I think demand will come down. Regardless of a domestic demand, the global demand will come down. When the global demand comes down, even if we have employment, I think the domestic demand will also soften because people are more cautious. And as you have heard from our colleagues from the private sector, they've explained that even the businesses are becoming a lot more cautious. They have held back their potential investments, their expansion plans, their purchases, their hiring plans have all slowed down. And this is not just in Singapore. It's global. I think our colleagues are just reflecting what Singapore businesses are doing, but it happens throughout the world, and therefore global demand is likely to slow down, and that will affect open economies like ours. So I think we just have to bear in mind that this impact is not just domestic-driven, it's actually global in nature. And you also mentioned it's only 10%. How does that affect us, and what impact would it have? And whatever tariff they impose, U.S. impose on other countries, really doesn't matter to us. But that may not be true, because Singapore would have exported a lot of our goods and products and services to countries that are exporting to U.S. And if these countries have a problem with the tariff that's imposed on them, especially reciprocal tariffs in time to come, and they may also reduce their demand for our products, and then our exports will be affected indirectly. So there are direct impact of the 10% baseline tariff, but there's also indirect impact on our exporting countries, our markets, exporting markets that may be affected by reciprocal tariffs that will be more than 10%. So I think that's why I say there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of reorganization of supply chain production base and so on. I think we will need to see how the whole landscape evolves. And that's the reason why we set up this task force, to keep an eye on the development, to make sense of what's happening, and to share this information in the first instance with our businesses, our workers, so that they are prepared and they can remain nimble, so that they can make the necessary adjustment and adaptation so that they can mitigate the impact of the tariffs, as well as at the same time explore new opportunities that's arising from this reorganization of the global supply chain. I will ask Hong Tat to answer that question.
Because all the schemes mentioned so far, three board schemes.
Yes.
Well, I think we have to look at the schemes as a continuous effort for us to help our companies. And it's not just to throw money at a problem. It's to help them through the funding to become more competitive, for the workers to become better skilled, so that in the new global environment, regardless of how the supply chains are going to shift, our companies and our workers will be better equipped and more ready to seize those new opportunities. I think that is a more sustainable way of helping our companies and our workers. We will, of course, continue to provide some immediate support for affected workers and families. Some of the schemes that have already been announced during Budget 2025 will go some way in helping them. And as I mentioned, if it's necessary, we are prepared to do more to help our workers and our families. But the more important thing is to see how we can make sure that our economy can continue to grow, we can remain competitive, because that is still a more sustainable medium to longer term strategy. And that can also help Singapore to continue to generate the fiscal resources that we will need to strengthen our social safety nets and our social compact.
DPM, may I just add briefly in the response to that?
You want to add to the first question?
Just very briefly, in addition to what Minister Chi has said, the sense-making helps us to design suitable responses. And policy innovations is something that, as a government, we have done in the past. So, for example, in the COVID period, we saw that fresh graduates were graduating into a market that was not very keen to take them on board. We designed a scheme to support their ability to start work and to build up their resume. On previous occasions, when it has been a matter of helping companies, businesses access loans, and seeing that financial institutions were very conservative, then we were able to also introduce, I believe it was an interest guarantee type of program. So the point I'm trying to make is that you don't go into this effort presuming to know what will be necessary. You have to go figure out what are the pain points that the companies are experiencing. And then what Minister Chi said is absolutely correct. You need to have the fiscal resources to enable you to respond accordingly. And that's the position that we are in. I think the Prime Minister had said so, that the current measures probably are going to be adequate for now, but the government is ready to do more if and when the need arises.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you. Maybe I just answer the second question, but to sort of supplement what Minister Josephine has mentioned, I think this is the first meeting. So the first meeting, in fact, our decision is really to first find out more details of the impact on the ground. And that's why we have SBF and SNEF with us, so that we can understand what are the challenges. And some of the challenges may not be specific and clear at this moment, because the impact hasn't fully been felt. But I think what Hong Tat and Josephine mentioned was that we are quite prepared to do more. In the meantime, we will enhance, look at how we can make our schemes, existing schemes, more aware by the enterprises, so they can tap on these existing schemes first if there's a need to, and later on when we are clearer on the, having made sense of the impact, then we are clearer on what are the needs on the ground, then we can evolve new schemes if necessary. And I think Josephine demonstrated that whether it's in COVID-19 or whether in the earlier global financial crisis, we roll out additional schemes to meet the specific needs of that time. So I think we still need to first make sense, understand the impact on the ground, then we can develop strategies on dealing with the short-term impact from the tariff. On the our context with the U.S., I met Ambassador Greer at the USTR yesterday. Just very briefly, we discussed our trade relationship. We talked about the tariff, our concerns about the tariff. We also discussed what we plan to do going forward. And I took the opportunity to explain to Ambassador Greer Singapore's approach and our position and our unique status as a small open economy, which is quite different from other countries. I gave the example of a consumption over GDP. And for Singapore, a significant part of our GDP are actually attributable to MNCs who are operating here, and the profits that they make are not totally spent here because they're attributable to their head office. And therefore, if you look at just the domestic GDP portion of the GDP, I think the ratio is quite different. And we just have to explain this and continue to explain this, and hopefully U.S. will better understand our situation. And we also emphasize that we do have a trade deficit with the U.S., meaning they have a trade surplus with us, which is quite different from other countries. I think Ambassador Greer accepted our explanation, took note of our explanation, but I think we will still need to continue to engage them as we go forward. So that is at the Ambassador Greer's level. I think our contact is not restricted just at the ministerial level. At the official level, they continue to discuss and to see how we can work together to better understand each other's concerns and how to address the concerns of the U.S. So that in time to come, we can have a broader engagement. We also took the opportunity to emphasize the importance for U.S. to engage this region, particularly in ASEAN, in Southeast Asia, because it's not just about Singapore, but about the region as an economic market. So we continue to encourage U.S. Businesses to look at Singapore, to look at Southeast Asia, to look at ASEAN as a growth area. So I think it is also a positive aspect of a bilateral relationship, how we can expand our cooperation and collaboration in many areas.
Let's take two questions at a go. Please state your name and your media outlet, and just one question, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jinyuan from Reuters. So I think last week you spoke to your counterparts. I think this is for Minister Gan. You spoke to your counterparts in the ASEAN, and I was wondering if you heard anything about potential collaboration in order to negotiate together, perhaps, or, you know, what have you heard that kind of gives you faith that maybe the region might not engage in, you know, beggar thy neighbor policies, or do you think it might be the case that, you know, that unity might not hold?
Thanks. Could you pass the mic behind? Let's take two questions at a time.
All right, thank you. Hi, I'm Jovi from The Edge Singapore. So just I note the work of the three work streams. Which industries will you prioritize across the work streams? Which sectors will you engage with first? Which do you think are most vulnerable right now? Thanks.
Maybe I'll take the ASEAN question. Maybe I don't know who else wants to take. Maybe Celine can talk about which particular sector is likely to be impacted more, and where our priorities are. First, on ASEAN, I did have an ASEAN ministerial meeting among the economic ministers. We had a very good discussion. I think we came together to share our information about our engagement with the U.S., our assessment of the impact of the tariffs. I think the conclusion is that we will come together to urge U.S. to have a constructive dialogue with ASEAN. And at the end, when it comes to a tariff negotiation, it may have to be bilateral because our economic structure are very different. Our trade patterns with the U.S. are also very different. So I think there's an opportunity for us to work together, and there's also opportunity for us to engage U.S. bilaterally. But at the same time, what is also important is that ASEAN economic ministers have made a declaration that we will continue to deepen and strengthen ASEAN integration. And we will uphold our commitment, our obligation under the ASEAN trade agreements. So I think that is very important. We also went one step further to say that ASEAN will continue to explore opportunities for collaboration with other economic partners. whether it's ASEAN-EU, ASEAN with CPTPP, ASEAN with other countries, including GCC and so on. So I think the agenda was a positive one, in addition to talking about the challenges and the impact of the tariff. But we also look at where are the opportunities for us to strengthen ASEAN collaboration, to expand our economic space within ASEAN as well as with our trading partners. So I think we discuss quite a wide range of issues and opportunities.
Thank you, DPM. I think to your point about which sectors are likely to be most affected, we think the bulk of the outward-facing export sector will be impacted. So if I may, I think there are at least five of them that I have identified just in that short period of your question and in between DPM's answer. First, manufacturing, particularly for exports to the US, the finance and insurance sector, wholesale trade, transport and logistics. And then the last bit, which is actually quite impactful, will be on semiconductors and also biomedical, pharma sectors as well. So, I mean, it is actually interesting that the first gentleman from ST talked about the fact that, you know, just like GST, after a while, it would sort of adjust itself. I don't necessarily think it's so, because this is not a standard baseline tariff, even though we are sort of affected by that 10%. I mean, in reality, because of the fact that trade is three times our GDP, there are many of these half-finished products that come through here. We finish the final packaging and the final sort of bundling of the product before we export. The impact would be significantly higher. So today, we are assessing them in different buckets. We would like to be a lot more targeted, a lot more precise in terms of the support measures that we're going to go, particularly supporting the businesses and ensuring that these businesses continue to support the employment of our locals. I think that is one of our priority. Now, the second point is that we are concerned about, and to your point, is that what if this, I mean, all businesses will tell you that no matter how you put up the tariffs and so on, there will be the ability for them to factor in the costs, and in time to come, they will adjust. I think the most difficult portion is when businesses cannot predict or cannot factor in what the cost is going to be. And this suspension on tariffs, how long it's going to be suspended for, people then adopt this wait-and-see attitude. I think this is what there are also concerns about. How long are you going to wait? So these are all of the uncertainties that encompass and engulf us today, because we are a very open economy and we are very, very vulnerable and susceptible in that sense. So the last bit is, therefore, we don't want to just expend our dry powder in coming up with all kinds of schemes. It's better for us to conserve that dry powder, given what we have just announced this year at our COS. Let the schemes run. We have the flexibility to bring many of these schemes forward, to expand the parameters. And just yesterday, we launched a job seeker support scheme. So it is a very fluid, fast-moving situation, the way we have it today. But I believe that we have the wherewithal to be able to direct the support, direct the powder to where it is needed most. Thank you.
Let's give this side of the room a chance.
Hi, Xuan from Channel 8. I think it was mentioned that there were already some orders cancellation, and some companies even opt for penalties to avoid the tariff. Can we understand what kind of businesses are these? Some examples. And also, 副总理，请问可以用华语简短说明一下这个工作小组的紧迫性，以及它将如何帮助企业和员工吗？
Hi, Kritika from Tamil Murasu. I was wanting to ask, in terms of reaching out to businesses for this task force, how do you guys plan to do it? Is it by face, and how many businesses do you plan to reach out to in that sense? Thank you.
Sorry. I'll just briefly touch on your question in regards to some of the businesses. We just heard feedback, like, for example, commodity traders, whereby, you know, they have certain shipments and then they go out there. And because rates have changed, duties have changed, FX has changed, so therefore goods are not being received over there or been sent back. Certain manufacturing sectors, we have also heard that orders are actually being delayed. They are worried about cash flows because the customs in the U.S. is also quite packed at the moment, and manpower is short. So that is affecting some of the manufacturers there, especially when you have sensitive items like food has a certain timing to get through there. That worries some of our exporters here as well. So that's a nutshell.
Joe, you want to talk about the engagement, outreach?
In fact, both Mark as well as Ceiling have talked about how we are already starting to meet with different groups. At the earlier stages of the engagements, I think we want to cast our net wide. It does not have to become overly narrow and specific. So we will speak to a variety of organizations. And as we are able to form a clearer picture of where the priorities ought to be in terms of going in depth, then I think we will shift our approach in order to be more targeted, in order to identify more in-depth conversations to have. For example, if we are beginning to design interventions, then you want to be able to test the effectiveness, or at least get a sounding of whether the stakeholders in those specific sectors see those interventions as being helpful to them, or if the design of those interventions can be further refined to be more responsive to the specific needs of a sector. I think generally that's how we will approach it. Start by casting the net wide, and then as we are beginning to develop interventions as may be needed, then, you know, more targeted approach with the specific sectors and potentially the specific unions. And also, sometimes even to specific functions. So, for example, within a company, there are many people looking at different aspects of the operations as well as the business. So you sometimes need to talk to people in marketing. Sometimes you need to talk to people in procurement. Sometimes you need to talk to people in supply chain management. So that's the approach that we will take.
Thank you. 让我用华语尽量的解释。我们看到最近美国对其他国家推出了相对的关税，一个基本的10%的关税，多数的国家都要面对这个关税。除此之外，一些国家还会面对 reciprocal 的双边的双对的关税。reciprocal 叫什么？应 对等 ，OK， 除了这个10%的基本关税，还有更高的对等关税对于一些国家。这样的情形之下呢，美国也在进行跟这些比较高面对比较高关税的国家进行谈判。那么谈判的结果会如何呢？还不得而知。虽然这个较高的对等关税已经延迟了90天，但是在这90天里面，这个对等关税的谈判到底会有什么结果还是不明朗。但是这个关税如果到最后没有办法得到圆满的解决的话呢，有一些国家就可能会采取 报复的行动，可能是有报复的关税或者是其他报复的措施。那么我们也看到美国跟中国之间在这关税上已经开始有关税战的迹象。那么层层相加的这个现象之下呢，就会造成整个贸易体系受到威胁，受到影响。这贸易体系不单只是美国和中国之间的贸易，其实关系到全世界的贸易体系。因为我们一向以来所依赖的是一个有规则基础的一个贸易体系。那么我们无论是要买还是要卖，要进口要出口，如果有关税的话，这个关税有一定的规则来管理的。那么我们的作为一个商家，我们就知道怎么样去计算我们的利润，计算我们的成本。但是如果这个关税的调整完全没有规则，是看谁起得最高，那么也要怎么报复，也把你的关税提高。这样的话呢，完全没有规则的一个情况之下呢，对于商家来讲，他没有办法预测他们要面对的这个关税到底是多少。那么这样在这种情况之下呢，整个贸易体制就会被瓦解了。那么这个对我们这个小国来讲是非常严重的一个威胁。为什么呢？在这样的一个情况之下，没有规则的贸易系统之下，那么经济体最大的，那么说话就最大声，那么他的谈判的能力就最高。那么经济体比较小的小国，像新加坡这样的呢，我们的谈判的能力就比较低。那么所以就是为什么我们现在非常关心这个整个贸易体系如何的转变。那么我们也知道在这个转变当中会有短期的冲击，也会有长期的影响。短期的冲击呢，就影响到特别是我们的中小型企业，他们怎么样来回应这样的关税的实施。那么我们就设立这个小组，有三个主要的小组来处理三方面的课题。第一个小组所关注的是信息的流通，怎么样和我们的企业们分享我们所得到关于关税的这些资料，也同时深入民间了解企业所面对的困难是什么，工人员工所面对的困难是什么，这样我们才能够量身定制援助的配套来帮助他们。那么这就讲到的第二个小组的最重要的它的使命就是要看目前短期的冲击对于我们的中小型企业，按照我们所得到的信息，怎么样去设计有必要的援助计划来帮助我们的中小型企业面对短期的冲击。但是在我们面对短期的挑战跟冲击的时候，我们也不能够忘记比较长期的策略。那么就是这就是第三个小组的一个任务，那怎么样能够把握我们整个大环境的转变，整个供应链的改变，生产基地的改变，帮助我们的企业了解这个长期性的影响，帮助我们的企业转型，帮助我们的员工提升，让我们能够在长期的这个经济转变之下呢，仍然能够有希望，仍然有新的机会，让我们能够继续发展，开发我们的经济，开发我们的市场。我想这个是第三个小组所要做的比较长期的计划。谢谢。
Let's take the question from 早报。
Hi, this is Thomas from 早报。I think we all noticed that several members of the task force are also preparing for the upcoming election. So how does the task force make sure this doesn't dilute your focus or delay the implementation? And also, is it part of the government strategy to reinforce the public confidence? Thank you.
Desmond, you want to say something?
I'll supplement.
Yeah. No, thank you for the question. I mean, certainly we are into election season, and all of us here who are standing for elections have to focus on winning the mandate of our voters. But at the same time, this is unprecedented waters that our island city-state is going through. The challenges and uncertainties that we will face, our enterprises, our workers will face, cannot be understated. I know there are people who say, well, that's not cause people to be overly concerned, but I think we should say it as it is. And just as previous threats, whether it's public health, whether it's geopolitical threats, have posed concerns for Singapore. We say it as it is and make sure that we prepare Singaporeans and our businesses for the journey ahead of us, make sure we are well prepared, and make sure we do what we need to do as a government together with our tripartite partners in order to prepare well for the uncertainties ahead. So in this environment, you've seen the way we organise ourselves. While there may be a GE, we also need to make sure that this work continues apace because the developments are in flux. They're rapidly developing. There's a fog of war. There's a lot of uncertainty both in Singapore and around the world about what is actually happening. And that is why we've structured, or DPM has structured this panel to work in three parts, and they're all working together. They're all working together. The first work stream, making sure we have a sense of what's going on, going deep together with our tripartite partners to understand the terrain, understand people's concerns, understand how enterprises are calculating and trying to make decisions, understanding how to make sense of it all in the fog of war, being prepared to share information quickly with our enterprises so that we help our firms leverage on the strengths that we have and the FTAs that we have in order to navigate this current environment. And then, of course, there will likely be some impact on enterprises, impact on workers. You've heard our partners from SNEF and SBF talk about what they've seen and what they've heard amongst business leaders and SMEs. So our work stream two, preparing to bring the measures together, existing measures, past measures, and layering on new measures if necessary in order to support Singaporeans, our workers, and our enterprises through the uncertainties ahead of us. And of course, the third work group is to make sure that even as we deal with the rough ride that might be ahead of us, that we also recognize that the global environment is changing. It's easy to focus on the here and now, it's easy to focus on crises as they emerge in front of you, but with something like what you've seen going on now, it is changing the way in which countries relate to one another, regions relate to one another, businesses, how they calculate, how they structure their supply chains, whether it's still based on the efficiency of globalization and a multilateral system, or one in which it's more bifurcated, one in which it's more truncated, one in which you plan on the basis of people you trust, people you're friendly with, and that will change the environment in which we are operating. And so we hope to be able to tap on the information that Workstream 1 develops, both immediate term and longer term, look at the measures that are necessary in Workstream 2, and then Workstream 3 to recommend to chairman and to government what measures might be necessary in order for us to capitalize on opportunities that may emerge in crisis to help us to survive, if not to also thrive. So I think that's the way in which we must work. There is urgency to this, and there is also a longer-term picture to this as well.
I think election or otherwise, we will have to continue to manage the crisis, and as the situation evolves, we will have to make responses in a timely manner. We need to be nimble to be able to respond very quickly. So I think that has been our strength in the past, and this will continue to be our strength, especially in our economy, that we must be able to respond very quickly. And that's why we decided to set up this task force. I should also clarify that although we have three work streams, we actually work as one task force. And all of us are looking at each other's work stream, and when we discuss collectively as a task force. So the work may be done, may be focused by the leads, but when we discuss, we do so collectively as a task force.
We're mindful that the embargo lifts at 6:30 p.m., so we will take just one last question.
Uh, Hi, Eliza from BT. Sorry, this might not be worth the last question because it's just a simple technical clarification on the distribution of the strategies. Can I confirm that the task force is just one part of Singapore's overall response to terrorists focused more internally on companies and businesses and workers as well, while the government will take charge of the broader higher-level strategies when it comes to things like working with like-minded countries and engaging the US? So just kind of about how they're splitting the workload, basically.
Yes, indeed. But I should also add that in addition to that, the government, when we engage our external partners, whether it's US or our ASEAN partners, we also take into account the feedback from the industry, from the enterprises. And this is also part and parcel of the responses feedback that we get through our sense-making and information from the first work stream. We also will then also take into account the feedback from all the members from the task force. But the direct discussion and negotiation and engagement usually is at the G2G level, government-to-government level, and therefore the government will take the lead in the negotiation and discussion with our other government partners. Okay, maybe one more question.
Hi. On sense-making, there has been a mix of reactions on the ground. Some say the government is fear-mongering. Some say the government should do more and explore all possibilities. So just wondering, is the task force, do you see the need to have some sort of a DOSCON level to assure the public, you know, green, red, or yellow, and to allay their concerns, whether to chill or worry? And do you foresee there's a need to have another budget this year?
Josephine, you want to take the sense-making part?
Assembly said it very well when he addressed the union leaders earlier this week. He said that we should not get overly excited, but at the same time, don't take it too lightly. And I think PM has also articulated very clearly that the changes are going to be profound. We must expect a fundamental reshuffling of the cards. The relatively benign environment, which allowed Singapore to pursue its economic strategies and to bring benefits to our citizens, that environment is very likely gone for now. So when the environment changes so dramatically, yes, it doesn't mean that we go into panic mode, but to disregard its consequences, to continue as though nothing has changed, I think that would not be a very wise thing to do, and this is not in keeping with the government's approach consistently carried out over the years. We've always been outward-looking. We've always recognized the fact that we are a price taker. We're a small country. We've always accepted that being plugged into the global economy benefits our people. And if we are no longer able to do so, as we were able to in the past, and as Minister Desmond has also described, not starting to plan for the future, not starting to revisit the strategies that have helped our economy to do well, and helped our people to do well, I think that is going to be very short-sighted. In some ways, quickly setting up this resilience task force and having a work stream that looks specifically at immediate measures is to buy us some time in order to get a better lay of the land and to think about the longer-term structural changes that we may need to support. And so from my point of view, this is a very timely effort and not a minute too soon.
Budget?
Well, I think the way we look at it is that the measures that were put in place, some of it, as my colleagues have mentioned, will be rolled out. We can look at the timing, can bring forward the start date of some of these measures that will help our businesses, help our workers. And for some of them, we can take a look at the criteria, the scope of coverage, the eligibility criteria to see whether more people can qualify, more companies can qualify. And based on the sense making and the assessment of whether further intervention will be required, then we can size up how much more resources we will need to put in. And as I mentioned earlier, if it is necessary for us to do so, we will provide support for our companies, for our workers, and for Singaporeans. And we are able to make this commitment because over the years, we have planned our fiscal resources carefully, and we do have the surpluses to allow us to be able to do this, including our past reserves. You'll probably remember during COVID, we had to tap on past reserves with the agreement of the president. So we don't want to prematurely say whether that is a scenario that will be necessary or not. But I think what will give our businesses, our workers, and Singaporeans the confidence is that should the need arise, we have the past reserves to be able to shore us up, to be able to back us up, and to be able to give confidence to Singaporeans and also to overseas investors that we do have the resources to do what we intend to do to get through this crisis together.
Maybe let me say a few words just to wrap up, and then we can release our media. let me just say that we are facing a significant challenge to our overall global economic framework, particularly the threat to the rules-based trading order. As I explained earlier, if countries are able to raise tariffs and reduce tariffs to each other without regard for the this MFN most favored nation basis, that you have to be fair to all countries, I think this will threaten the underlying rules-based order that we have been relying on to grow our economy, to develop our economy. So I think this is something that we are particularly concerned about, because once you do not have rules on trading, it is very difficult for small countries and small economies like Singapore to continue to grow and develop and prosper, because trade, after all, is three times our GDP. And in the longer term, we also see that it's a major challenge when we see tariffs are going up. Some may ask, will the tariffs be removed after this administration? When the new administration come in, maybe they can remove the tariff and everything else will be over. It's not so simple, because some of the tariffs are imposed in order to allow industries to onshore into America. And you can imagine if I made a significant investment in the U.S. because of the tariff protection, you cannot remove the tariff overnight, because that will affect my investment, affect my calculation. So it is something that you always have to bear in mind, that tariffs are easy to put up but very difficult to remove. So I think this challenge is going to be with us for the long term, and therefore it is important for us, while we tackle the short-term impact of the tariff, we need to have a long-term view on how our economy needs to transform, need to reposition ourselves. But at the same time, we should also bear in mind that even in this choppy water, in this turmoil, there will be opportunities. As our supply chain gets reconfigured, there will be pockets of opportunities that we will be able to tap on. The key is really we need to help our companies to be nimble, to continue to invest in upgrading, in innovation, developing new markets, develop new products and services. At the same time, continue to invest in our people so that they can have the skills that are necessary to deal with new markets and new products. And we need to continue to also tap on the strength of our tripartism, work together with the industries, with the businesses, work with the unions and the workers, and the government will come together. And with this tripartism, we can then strengthen our economy's resilience, and we'll be able to overcome these challenges and continue to grow our economy and to provide the good jobs for Singaporeans. Thank you very much.